We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jake apparently made Nate mad, so Nate's left for the day. What happened, Jake?
I told him he shouldn't talk back to me like that. I told him, you know who really got this? I got this, and you're going to get out of here. Wow. You're gone, Nate.
Well,
you got suspended for the last hour of the show.
With pay. We'll see if Nate returns tomorrow, but right now, we'll talk some more baseball with the Vice President, Assistant GM, Player Personnel, J.J. Piccolo from the Kansas City Royals. What's up, J.J.? How are you?
Doing great, Steven. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing awesome because, you know, there's nothing wrong with an evening game, but boy, do I like day baseball. And so even though the Royals lost yesterday, I enjoyed watching during the day. And then today is just after 3 o'clock in Chicago, so that fits my schedule perfectly. But let's talk about some of the things we've seen so far in the first week of the season. Hey, we had a few conversations about Jake Junis and how good he looked in spring and the addition of the cutter to his arsenal. And so then we find out there's going to be a bullpen day. He goes out there. You're hoping, okay, maybe he can give you guys a couple, three innings or so and look good doing it. Wow, 5 innings, 1 hit, 6 strikeouts. And I love the story that Matheny goes out there and Junis kind of gets he's a little hot there. He's like, no, leave me in the game. But Mike Matheny goes, hey, you're staying in the game. You got this. Go get this guy. And he got the final out with the 5 innings. Man, was he impressive, JJ.
Yeah, he really was. And I think the thing that stood out yesterday is really just the efficiency. I believe it was 58 pitches over 5 innings. And you just don't see that, and especially the fact that he struck out 6 guys. So it's not like it was a lot of three pitch or less outs. There, obviously, there was some mixed in there. But, to strike out some guys over 5 innings and still be that efficient with your pitches, it was a huge lift for the team. And it really set the tone for yesterday. Unfortunately, he didn't come out on top. But a great sign of things to come and work that Jake has put in over the winter. And now it's paying off. And he's doing a great job and really has been since the beginning of spring training.
And watching him in spring, and so much talk was about the cutter. I mean, I'm sure you guys felt cautiously optimistic, or you can tell me, about his the opportunity for him to go out there in whatever role and take a step forward from last year and look better. So this is something that didn't come out of nowhere. He was showing this in spring, but it's one thing to do it then. But there is really something to this new cutter and his approach and just his growth as a pitcher right now.
Yeah, no question about it. You saw that he threw 1 inning prior to yesterday's game, and that was a quick, efficient inning as well. And, that pitch just has the ability to get under left-handers' hands or jam them. And, just the lateness of the break is just gives him a different weapon. And you can follow it up with other pitches that opens up to the other side of the plate. So he's got a weapon there that's going to make a difference. And I know from day one here, when Cal got a chance to see him throw his sides, it was that impressive right away. And it just kept getting better and better, tightening it up a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit later break. And now it's a weapon. And hitters know it. So it's a great advantage for him.
Do you think, moving forward, and obviously this was just one start in a bullpen day, is that a guy that you think needs to be considered as a starter moving forward, or do you think he ends up back in the bullpen? I'm sure it's based on what others do and other things that happen, but he sure put himself in the conversation yesterday, I would think.
Yeah, I would think so. I've not spoken to Mike Matheny after the game or Dayton even, and so that's a decision that they'll make. But when a guy goes out and gives you 5 strong innings, and he does have a track record of starting, it's not like he's never started before. I think we've always viewed Jake as sort of that swing guy, and he's going to maybe give you a chance to give you solid starts week after week after week. I think that the bullpen idea came up a little bit because of this cutter. You think of some of the good relievers have that cutter Maybe he's better suited in the bullpen, but Jake's been a starter his entire career, minor leagues all the way through the major leagues, and outside of a few relief appearances, we've viewed him as that. But we know he's a tough kid, and he's going to take the ball in whatever role he's asked to take. He's going to accept it and go compete for you, and I think that's probably the greatest trait that Jake has. He's a great competitor.
J.J. Piccolo's our guest. Man, J.J., I was watching the game. I was thinking about some of the conversations we've had about Kyle Isbell and how good he's looked this week. But then in the seventh inning, when the Royals were down 2-1, he's against Shane Bieber, who's one of the best pitchers in baseball, and he works a walk. He gets on base, and that ultimately leads to the RBI single from Nicky Lopez. But I'm quite sure that everyone's been thrilled with what Kyle Isbell showed so far this season. But, man, in that spot, you just got to love that. When you're down one, it's the seventh inning, you're on the road, and he works a walk against one of the best guys in the business and ultimately scores a tying run.
Yeah, it's really, really mature at bat. I mean, that's the first thing that comes to mind. But, Kyle, having watched him for a number of years, he's never been a guy that is too anxious at the plate. He's got great eye-hand coordination. He's got great pitch recognition. But I think what stands out in situations like that is just the composure that you keep as a young hitter. It's easy to get excited, regardless of what your past track record may be. As a young player, it's easy to get excited and maybe expand the zone there and feel like you have to get a hit and not being willing to accept the walk and to do it against the Cy Young Award winner is even more impressive. But, for those of us that know Kyle, I mean, it's not too surprising. But I think the great thing is it's showing up on the major league field against some of the best pitchers in the game. There's more to come from Kyle in that regard.
We have J.J. Piccolo on the line, and I mentioned Nicky Lopez drove him in. And so, here's a kid that, anyone that has met Nicky Lopez, talked to him for 5 minutes, you become a Nicky Lopez fan. You want him to succeed. What a nice kid he is, and you want to see him do well. For any player, that's a very tough thing to take when you're told, it's not your time right now. You're not going to make the opening day roster. And so that's a lot of disappointment to deal with. But because of what happened with Mondesi, he comes right back up. He has looked terrific. And yesterday, 1-for-2 with the ribby, draws another walk, hitting .438. He's getting on base. He had that hit and run the other game that looked so good. He's been the way he's handling the bat, and like you said, is mature plate appearances. You just have to be thrilled with the way he handled the demotion, even though it was brief, and he's come up with this second chance, and boy, has he made the most of it. He's just looked terrific so far.
Yeah, he really has, and a lot of credit goes to Nicky's just the way he's handled the situation. Getting sent out of camp is always a tough message, especially when you're the starting second baseman last year. Sometimes it's just an eye-opener that players need. I think we discussed a couple weeks ago, Mike Moustakas went through a similar thing before he went back up and stayed up for good. But so much of it depends on how the player handles it. We do our best to try to talk to them and explain to them that, look, you're a major league player. You're just not in the major leagues right now. So, the time's going to come that you're going to need to be prepared to step back in there and do the things you're capable of doing. So from Dayton to Mike Matheny to Alex Zumwalt, Terry Bradshaw, the message to him was real simple. We need you to be Nicky Lopez. Be the player that we know you are, and that's get on base, give us a good at-bat, move a runner, hit and run. And I think it was just kind of a reminder, even though it was only a couple of days, it was just simply a reminder of what we need him to do. But all the credit goes to the player. He's gone out and done it. So he got that second chance, that next opportunity, whatever you may want to call it, a little bit quicker than most did and under different circumstances. But he's certainly doing the things we expected him to do through spring training, and now he's doing it in the major league. So really happy for Nicky.
J.J. Piccolo is our guest. You know, another guy we talked a lot about in spring training was Michael Taylor. And for Royals, it's been fun for me, for a lot of fans that haven't really watched him play, like what he did on opening day and what he's shown glimpses throughout this first week, whether it's defensively or his arm or his speed or his power. And by the way, I screamed gone when he hit that in the ninth inning yesterday, and I still can't believe that wasn't a home run. So maybe there's our first evidence of a different baseball. But he's really shown all these different assets that he brings to the ball club, and he's really opened a lot of eyes. But clearly, that's what you guys saw in him. You saw that package of defense and speed and an arm and the ability to hit for power. That's been, I think, a very pleasant surprise for a lot of Royals fans watching him take over at center field.
Yeah, we've known Michael since he was in high school. And, you know, when we talk about our draft profile and types of players that we like, he certainly fits the bill. Certainly plays defense the way we need somebody to play defense in center field. And as you mentioned, that kind of rare combination of speed and power, you don't find it a whole lot, especially on a center fielder. And sometimes it gets them in trouble. You know, the guys that can run, they try to get a little bit too big with their swings. But, you know, what we've seen of Michael, and, you know, this is the first time I've really had a chance to watch him over an extended period of time. You know, the consistency of the swing has been there. You know, it's not a lot of length to it. He's using the middle of the field. He's not trying to do too much. And, you know, as a result, he's driving the balls really well, and that power's showing up. And, of course, the defense has been great. That's one thing, I think, above anything else. We knew he would play great defense. We never had a concern about that. And that's why whatever we get out of Michael is a bonus offensively. And then he's going to do some things on the bases as well. So it's a player that's got a unique set of tools, a complete package. And sometimes, you know, guys get into their late 20s, they start really putting it together. Michael's had a great first week.
J.J. Piccolo is our guest. Another guy that's had a great first week out of the bullpen is Scott Barlow. And, you know, he's been solid the past couple of years, maybe a little underrated for what he's done. But to have a guy like that who can come in and nail down the seventh or the eighth or the seventh and the eighth, he looks like moving forward he's going to be a real important, valuable piece in that bullpen. Maybe if you don't mind, tell me some of the things that you really like about Scott Barlow and how he can continue to help this bullpen.
Like so many relievers, you know, he started in the minor leagues. And when guys get to make starts in the minor leagues, they get to develop pitches, they get to develop command. And what Scott's shown over the last 2 years, really, he can command the ball extremely well. But now being in a bullpen role, his arm, the versatility he gives us, because his arm is very resilient. You know, he's a guy that Mike can give the ball to just about every day. You know, I know last year, I want to say he's in 40 games out of our 60 or something last year. I mean, it's a high number of games, but he takes the ball, and that's really important. But, you know, the command of the secondary pitches, the life on his fastball, the way he attacks at the bottom of the zone are all things that are going to make any pitcher successful. But I think, as he's, you know, continues to grow here, the confidence just keeps getting better and better as well. I mean, you just watch him take the mound. He gives you a great feeling like he's going to get the job done. He's just got that look in his eyes, and I think that was something that probably started developing over the course of last year as he kept pitching and pitching and pitching. And now I think what you have is a very, very reliable back-end guy with the versatility to maybe go one-plus if you need him to, back-to-back days if you need him to. And those types of pitchers are really valuable to any bullpen.
J.J. Piccolo is our guest, talking Royals baseball with J.J. You know, I think some Royals fans were surprised that Jake Brents made the team. And, you know, here's a guy, I think he's on his fourth organization. He's a left-hander. But, I mean, his stuff is electric. And I got a buddy that just watches every game and will text me back and forth, you know. And first game he comes in and you see him, you see the ball come out of his hand. He's like, who the hell is this guy? What's going on? And we were kind of talking back and forth. And it was so much fun to watch him make his major league debut because he had so many family members from the St. Louis area in there. And look, you know, you know the deal. Sometimes when a guy has multiple organizations and you get to a certain age, you think, you know what? Maybe he's never going to make it to the majors. But he did. And that's one of the reasons you love baseball so much, to see that emotion and to see his family in tears up there in the stands. But this is an interesting find, a lefty throwing that hard. If he can harness that stuff, boy, that could be a weapon out of the bullpen, J.J.
Yeah, Jake's he's got a really interesting background. I mean, he's another player that we knew extremely well out of high school and just didn't get him in the draft. You know, you look at the course of his minor league career, he's a couple different organizations, traded, and I think everybody always recognized he has a really good arm. But his walks were a little high. So he got released 2 years ago, and because of our familiarity with him, you know, we made a call immediately to him and said, look, what are you looking to do? He said, you know, of course I still want to play. So we signed him and put him in double A that year. And, you know, had a couple looks at him, but not a whole lot to go off of. But to his credit, he called us and said, look, I'd love to come out to Instructional League, which is really unusual, you know, for a guy who had pitched at the levels he had pitched at. He'd been up to triple A to say, I want to come to Instructional League. And I think that's really where this whole transformation began, because he was basically saying, hey, I need help and I want to work. And if you're willing to work with me, I'll give you everything I've got. And it's kind of gone from there. You know, he gets the opportunity to work out in the offseason in St. Louis or with Mike Matheny's son. So Mike's had a chance to see him a lot. We had him at the alternate site last year. You know, he threw tremendous. And let's face it, he's a left-hander throwing 98, 99 miles an hour, you know, and it's a tough arm angle. It's an uncomfortable bat for left-handers. He's going to get away with a little bit more because people are going to be jumping at that fastball, and he's got a good slider. So there are certainly things that he does that intimidate hitters. I think our pitching coaches from the big leagues down through the alternate site last year did a great job refining him and continuing to refine him. And then he gets the opportunity to make the big league team out of spring training. So, again, like I said about Nicky, the credit goes to the players. They put the work in when they're coachable and they listen and they want to get better. It certainly makes everybody's lives a lot easier. And then they get the reward of being in the major league. So it's a great, great week for Jake, and hoping that he can do a lot of great things for us.
Yeah, and you know, you never get tired of those stories. A guy like that that's been through what he's been through in his career, making his major league debut and having the ability to have a whole bunch of his friends and family drive down from the St. Louis area. And that's one of the things you just have to love about baseball, and to watch a kid like that or watch a guy like that get to the majors and the emotion surrounding that special moment.
Yeah, without question. It's, you know, the players put in all the work, but, you know, as a lot of us can attest to, the moms and dads put a lot of work into and getting their kids
That's
here
right.
and there and doing what they can and spending money to help them train and reach their dreams. So for the Brent's family to be there and watch him that day, it's just an awesome thing for us to watch and see them enjoy it. So it's a great thing.
JJ, how's everything going with the situation, obviously, with the alternate side and the minor leagues and, you know, the prospects that you guys are getting work for and trying to monitor? Obviously, the seasons don't start until May 4th, and we've talked about in the past what's going on in Northwest Arkansas. But how have things gone so far in this first week of this very unique minor league season that hasn't even started yet?
Yeah, so far so good. We played two games in Louisville Monday and Tuesday night, and we're not keeping official score, but it was a 2-2 tie. And then the next night we went out, we won 10-1. I think we hit 5 home runs that night. Pitching's been solid. Daniel Lynch and Jackson Kowar were the first two guys to pitch, and they pitched really well. So it's going well. Unfortunately, they got rained out last night, so they'll be back at it again tonight. But that situation is a good one because we're playing games. You know, we've talked many times about the alternate site last year and the lack of games and how we had to be creative in our development. But here we get a chance to play games this week. We're going to finish the week in Columbus, Ohio against the Reds alternate site. I'm sorry, the Indians alternate site team. And then we'll head back to Northwest Arkansas where we'll have about 10 days of workouts, and I think that the timing of that's going to work out well because, Now our coaches have something to work off of in game at bats against another team. And now for 10 days, we can address those things and look at video and break things down before we go into our last week of playing games against Texas teams. So it's a good thing, off to a good start. And then down in Arizona, things are, you know, going very smoothly. We've got 140 players that have come down here over the last 4 days or so. They're all on the field. We start our first games on official games on the 12th, which is Monday. So things are starting to move quickly here. And before we know it, these players will be out playing their openers on May 4th. So it's an exciting time.
You know, and it's a great thing, too, for those communities that have missed so much with not having minor league baseball, you know, Omaha and Northwest Arkansas and all the affiliates. And this is a big deal. So I'm sure everyone's excited about getting that back in action on May 4th.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because that is something that we tend to forget. We want games, but these communities were really hit hard in a lot of different ways. And, you know, to see fans in the stands again, I know there were fans in Louisville, and our manager, Brian Polberg, said it was great. Even the players, you know, have commented that it's really just nice to see people out there. But for the communities, it's really important. You know, I think, you know, socially and economically, it's needed. And we're glad to just be a part of it and hopefully provide entertainment throughout the summer.
JJ, always great talking baseball with you. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, Steven. Thank you.
That is JJ Piccolo. Jake, I want you to commend me right now.
I commend you, Steven. Great interview.
No.
Oh, for bringing up the cities that are hurting for the minor league?
Oh. I went a whole interview by myself, and I didn't ask one question about Bobby Richard. And it's on my list. And I looked at it, and I said, no, I'm not doing
You are
that.
To be commended for that. I'm going to hear your studio audience applaud you.
I've got it all written down, all the things I wanted to talk about with JJ, and I cross them off, and there was only a couple things I didn't get, and he's one of them. And just for a moment, I said, okay, now it's time. Because when he said the five home runs, you know what I was going to say? I said Bobby Witt Jr. hit one of those. It
or
wasn't
two.
Even a question, though.
Or two.
But it was a statement.
Right. Well, you know? I mean, it's to be assumed, right?
Because I know he did.
Okay.
He did. I mean,
I believe
that's
you.
What I mean. Because it wasn't a question; it was just a statement. I didn't need, because he knows it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, JJ knows it, but I just wanted him to know that I know.
Well, I'm glad you didn't make a statement that should have been.
You
a
know
question.
That I know that you know that I know.
Well,
like, I know Bobby Witt hit a home run. I know you know.
I didn't know, but
you
now,
don't know.
Now I know.
Well, I told you.
Well, did you?
So.
Just yeah. Now you did, but I didn't know before that.
But the point is, I could have said, it could have been like, hey, I saw Bobby Witt Jr. hit a home run. And like JJ went, yeah, yes.
Okay.
There wasn't really anywhere
to go.
Is
there a follow up there?
No. it was more of a declaration. Because if JJ, I think if he hears me ask one more Bobby Witt Jr. question, then his phone will explode. So I'm trying to prevent that from happening, because I don't want that to happen. Because I like JJ too much. But did you know? So like, you know, my wife's a twin, right?
Yeah.
And I've always asked her, because I used to remember seeing like. And like Ripley's Believe It or Not or whatever else,
yeah,
like, you know.
Right.
What one sister burns her hand on the stove.
The other one feels it, right.
2,000 miles away, and then the other sister feels it, right? And I always ask her about these things, and she says I'm an idiot, which is fine. But, and you may not believe this, when Bobby Witt Jr. gets an extra base hit anywhere, I feel it.
I don't believe you.
I do. I feel it down.
But you're not.
Plums.
But you're not a twin with Bobby Witt.
How do you know? Plums. I have a feeling in my plums.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a connection. It's a connection. I can't explain it.
No, I mean that. I do believe that though.
You should believe that.
The twin. I mean, did Susan did she just randomly just like my neck, like, and then her sister like burned herself with a curling iron or something?
Somewhere thousands of miles away, her sister is getting like super irritated and frustrated, and it's because I keep asking Susan dumb questions. Why am I so irritated right now? Her sister's saying. Oh, Susan must be talking to Steven right now. Steven must be acting like a moron right now somewhere in Kansas City. Why am I so angry?
I actually heard a story last night.
Why do I want to get in my car and drive far away?
It was about two weeks ago about that. Like Navy SEAL brothers, the Luttrell brothers, Morgan and Marcus Luttrell. About the lone survivor.
I heard one of the best interviews ever, Marcus Luttrell on with Howard Stern.
Yeah, yeah.
So fantastic.
I'm a big David Goggins guy. Goggins is one of my all-time heroes. And
Really? I was surprised you said that, considering you repost everything that he ever posts on Instagram.
Well, he doesn't post that much, but I do. Well, I do repost it. I repost it all. But
I don't have to follow him because I follow you. Yes. Through you, I follow him.
Yeah, so that's I was... heard him talk about that because he was with Morgan in I think they were in flight training or parachute training, and that's when his brother Marcus was the lone survivor and was going through all that, and he knew before the government had even contacted him that something was majorly going wrong. And to your point, I'm sure Susan's sister feels a lot of pain.
Yeah, so much anger and frustration. Can you imagine?
My head's hurting. Oh my God, why?
Can you imagine
my sister alone?
Can you imagine if you had a twin and your twin felt everything that you felt
my twin would
2008 to 2014?
He would not have survived that. He would,
why are you doing this to me? Stop it.
Oh, my liver.
I don't know where I am. I'm so disoriented.
I feel so disoriented. I'm so lost. I'm so lost in life. Where am I again? Where did I park my car? Steven, I can't find my car. Where are you?
Yeah.
I'm on the plaza and I don't know where my car is.
That was from a payphone, by the way.
Yes, it was. It absolutely was.
Oh, I know it was. This is one of my best memories of a payphone. And so I believe that to be the last time anyone on earth has called me from a payphone.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. But you should be more proud that I actually knew your phone number, because my phone had died, and I was like, jeez. I got to call Steven.
She was like, who is that? So that was Jake on a payphone asking me where his car is.
The more amazing.
She said, no, really, who was it? I said, well, I mean, you could choose to believe me or not, but I'm telling you what it was. And so
the best is that you answered the phone, but you knew it was probably me, because my phone just it died when I was talking to you.
I had a pretty good idea. Where was that payphone, by the way?
Oh, it's kind of by the Starbucks. What was the Japanese steakhouse that used to be down there that was in the plot? Like, you know what I'm talking about? Hibachi, maybe? Was it
I got in trouble there in college.
Yeah. It was right across the street from the Hibachi. And I
love that place.
Yeah. The best thing is that I was calling you from a memorized calling card that we had in my family. Like, so my mom had we had a calling card. It was back when Sprint had the FON phone card.
Yeah.
And I'd memorized the calling card, and my mom would be just furious every time that she would get a phone bill every month.
You memorized the calling card, but you didn't know where on the plaza your car was.
Right. No, that's, I memorized it as a kid, and then I did some major brain damage to myself.
And again, thankfully, your twin didn't feel that anymore.
Right. That's the whole point.
That's the whole point of this story.
There you go.
We will take a break back after this on WHB.